Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between.
It's season 8 and we're really excited to be once again teaming up with F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula 1. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the pinnacle of motorsport. And let's face it, any chance to get close to Formula 1 this year, we are all over it. And the brilliant news is you can now return trackside thanks to F1 Experiences. Enjoy the very best race tickets and track hospitality, first class hotel, and unprecedented access you simply cannot get anywhere else. For more information on how you can book your F1 experience, visit f1experiences.com, where you can also save 5% on your very own F1 Experiences package by using the code MOTORMOUTH when checking out online. So, what are you waiting for? Experience the 2021 F1 season firsthand with exclusive access courtesy of F1 Experiences. Get booking today at f1experiences.com.
Hello everyone, Tim Sylvie here. Now, today's guest hails from Shanghai in China. And did you know, Harry Benjamin, that Shanghai is the world's largest city with over 25 million people, which means that more people live in Shanghai than they do in New Zealand by over 5 times. It's home to many attractions, including the famous Bund and the Shanghai Tower, which is the second tallest building on the planet with the tallest usable floor at 587.4 metres, which you can reach in no time at all because it's got the fastest elevators in the world, which reach a ridiculous 45.9 miles per hour. What do you make of that, Harry? And can you name the actual tallest building in the world?
Your facts, again, once again, know no bounds. Well done on the research.
Thank you.
I think it's in Dubai, isn't it? Isn't it like the Burj Khalifa,
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's actually not much taller. And the tallest usable floor in the Burj Khalifa is, I think, is actually lower than Shanghai Tower. So, you know.
Interesting. I have to say, I've never been to China either. It's on my to-do list. My mum went about 6 or 7 years ago and walked the Great Wall.
Wow, very cool.
So the views and the history is astounding. So it's on the bucket list for sure.
That's really cool. I've been a few times. I've been to the Shanghai Grand Prix. And it's a fascinating city. I've got a good story about it, about hairy crabs, which I'll regale you with one day that I had to eat, which was a terrible experience. Also, did you know you can't see, contrary to popular belief, you can't see the Great Wall of China from space? It's a myth.
I thought you could.
Think about it, right? It's not that wide. Okay. It's like the width of a dual carriageway or something. You can't see a dual carriageway from space. You cannot see The wall from space. Anyway, I could go.
There's only one way to find out.
Go there.
Yeah.
or go to space. You need Richard Branson's money to do that.
Exactly.
Anyway, shall I introduce today's guest?
I think we better get on with it, yes.
So today we're joined by Guan Yuzhou. Hailing from the aforementioned Shanghai, he's China's leading light on the path to Formula One. He was Formula Two's top rookie in 2019, and he's picked up wins and podiums on his way to his third season in the championship. And with the support of the Alpine Academy, has his F1 sights firmly in place. At the time of recording, he's well on track to be in the hunt for the F2 title. We're here to dive into his life, career, passions, and pastimes. Guan Yuzhou, welcome to the Motormouth podcast.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
All good, thank you, mate. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much for taking the time as well. It's really, and for those who are just listening to this, a brilliant setup you've got there with your Monaco trophy and pride of place in the camera angle as well. We'll come on to some of your F2 exploits in a bit. But first of all, where are you at the moment in the world? Whereabouts are you?
I'm right now in London, in UK. That's why I'm based in Europe, basically.
Yeah, of course, I suppose when you have to travel, especially travel being an absolute nightmare right now. But let's go back to the very beginning, first of all, if that's all right. You started karting at the age of 8. So what were the steps that led to you getting into a kart for the first time?
It was actually, you know, the first ever time. It was a go-kart. So, you know, the karting times. And yeah. It was actually like in a rental car, indoor track. So it was actually really, you know, it was really scary. So the first time you go there, by then, you know, the rental car is mainly petrols and you smell the fuel, all that makes you a bit nervous, especially when you're first time new to it. And then my actually first attempt, I wasn't driving. I was in like a long two-seated go-kart behind my dad. So I had my eyes closed for the whole 10-minute slot. And then I was like, right, we should go home because I was scared. And obviously my friends convinced me to be, you know, try it once at least before I go. And then I was like, okay, it takes a lot more like deep breath, all that, and to be, you know, attempt that. And yeah, first time I drove it, I absolutely loved it. So every weekend I started to go in there after school. And then obviously I was actually quicker than all the adults. So that's when, you know, they introduced me to outdoor track to be more professional races.
Yeah, and it wasn't long before things got very, very good. And at just 12 years old, you headed to the UK to set up in Sheffield, of all places, to compete in Super One National Rotax. That's a huge, huge move for a young chap from Shanghai to do, culturally especially. How was that experience? It must have been a massive shock to the system.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, firstly, to be moving outside your country that young is not easy. And secondly, you know, not just moving outside country, you have, you know, the atmosphere of living and also of motorsports is completely different. And I have to really, you know, adapt quite a lot and, you know, passing the language as well.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the toughest part. I was in the younger guy, and then, you know, it's the competition here in Europe or in UK is so much higher than back in Shanghai, in China. And yeah, it wasn't easy. So I have to really, you know, sacrifice a lot of my normal, you know, normal lifestyle. So just mainly doing testing and study all the time. So, and then, you know, thankfully, after obviously 1.5 years, I have to say, of practicing, you know, improving, I was, you know, become a championship contender and won all these titles.
It's so easy to forget, isn't it? That if, you know, just when you're just watching you guys race it out, it's so easy to forget that it's not just about what you're doing on track. You know, that's not just where your energy goes. There's so much hard work and sacrifice that goes on in the background, not to mention just culturally, but also just adapting to a whole new lifestyle. It's so easy to forget that, isn't it? But you were adapting, and 2015, you moved up to Italian F4 with Prema, who are well known for being a very top team in the junior feeder series across the ladders, and you ended up best rookie and vice champion. So you must be thinking at this point, okay, I've got something here, I can take this quite far. Was Formula One always in your sights?
Yeah, definitely. It was always in my sight. Like when I was probably about 10 years old, like 11 years old, before moving up to UK, that was, you know, the main target of the long term in the future to became or become the first Formula One driver. And then, but, you know, it's so far away when you're in karting stage. And, you know, there's in past examples of people doing really, really well in karting and coming to Formula, you know, struggling a bit. And we see quite a lot happening, so you never know. But obviously the first year of Formula 4, I have definitely shown, you know, I have the skills or potential to be, you know, reaching this dream maybe. And that's why, you know, everything became a little bit more realistic. And I started believing more to be reaching that dream. And then also, obviously, by then, 2015 was my first year with the Formula 1 team's junior program as well. So, you know, all this stuff adding up together gave me a bit more, you know, motivation, a bit more, how do you say, thinking of my future can be maybe one day in June.
Yeah, and obviously you're with Alpine now, but back then, 5 or so years ago, or 7 years ago now, you were originally spotted by Ferrari as part of their driver academy. That must have been quite a nice phone call to receive with the most successful and famous manufacturer in Formula One calling up going, yeah, you're not bad. Fancy joining our program? How did that feel?
That felt absolutely amazing. Firstly, it probably was more like an email than a phone call. And yeah, they asked me basically, tell me to, you know, they saw my results. Obviously, the year before I won both titles of the, you know, karting. And so they want me to go to Fiorano, where they're based, to do like a testing program. So that's including exercises in the gym, simulator work, a little bit of like overall behavior to see how you're doing. And it was actually all good. And then obviously they decided to have me in the junior program. So I was absolutely honored to be joining that, because you learn much more by, you know, following the F1 team than figure out everything yourself. So.
And as you say, that must give you just so much more motivation to keep going up through the junior ranks, which you did. You went through European Formula 3 for a couple of years as well, and climbing up the ladder. I'm going to fast forward ever so slightly to now when you joined, of course, what was then the Renault F1 team in a development driver role as well, a little bit further. So I think that must have been at the end of 2018 into 19. So that has now morphed into what we all know today as the Alpine Academy. Can you explain to us a little bit about how that first started, your connection with Renault, and then what exactly it means in to be a part of the academy, what you get up to, what that allows you to do, and what your role entails on a sort of day-to-day basis or across a race weekend?
Yeah, sure. So firstly, you know, the reason moving obviously from Ferrari to Renault, it wasn't an easy decision. It was like pretty, you know, going through all these long meetings, thinking ahead of the futures, and then the main target is that's obviously reaching Formula One. But Renault, that can provide me much more opportunities in Formula One role. And that's the reason I moved into them. And obviously we saw already, you know, first year with them, they let me to do the demonstration run in the 1000 Grand Prix in Shanghai, China. And also on the Saturday, demo of, you know, doing donuts inside the city of Shanghai for the first ever official time.
That must have been mental.
Yeah, I think that was by the time still one of my most nervous moments at the date. And it was incredible. But, you know, all this stuff have, you know, showing all these opportunities they had. And also, you know, the last 2.5 years plus this half year, we've been doing so much run around, you know, the 2-year-old car program. It just provides me, you know, a lot more track time with understanding Formula One. And, you know, it's a completely different world to what I'm used to in Formula Two, with all different, you know, scenarios like driving styles, the car behavior. So you do need time to be doing practice before you are ready for a seat. And all this stuff, I think, is the main reason for it. And in the other hand, you know, joining Renault, is a first year I was already like a test driver for them. So basically, you know, they give me like Formula One rookie testing days with the current car. So it's always nice to feel the difference between the two cars. And obviously back in the factory, a lot more simulator work as well behind the scenes to help team development the race cars.
Now, we're going to come on to your Formula One activities in a bit more detail shortly. I want to first touch on Formula Two. And in 2019, with you and I, Virtuoso Racing, you picked up the brilliantly named Antoine Hubert Award. And I know he was a friend of yours, so our thoughts remain with him and his family. But you picked up that award named after Antoine for the highest placed rookie. That must have been a pleasing moment, not least to receive an award with his name attached to it, but also just for you personally and professionally, making your way up the ladder to receive such a thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 2019 was a difficult year. Second half year, just not in terms of the overall results, because I think I had a pretty satisfied, you know, result at the end. But in terms of, you know, how we lost a good friend of, you know, a lot of people in the paddock. And it's like the first ever time for me as, you know, a young driver to experience all this stuff. So it wasn't easy, but it gave me, you know, when I realized that was probably a round to go, because by then I was already secure. I was a, you know, top rookie, and they said we have this award coming. So I was really, you know, impressed, and that's one of like my most favorite like trophies of all time, just because, you know, you have his name in it. And then, yeah, of course, you know, first year jumping to Formula Two, I think my days in Formula Three didn't exactly, you know, went well as I wanted. So we had a few issues, even though it was the last year we was nearly in the title fight and there's some stuff going wrong. So Formula 2 really showed, you know, we are capable to, you know, fighting against 3-4 years experienced drivers. So that was a good thing. And then obviously I knew it's even another step closer to Formula 1. So yeah.
A quick interruption to the show to remind you to check out our sponsor, F1 Experiences. F1 Experiences offer a wide range of packages that come direct from Formula 1, giving you a unique experience of the pinnacle of motorsport. Official ticket packages come with the very best race tickets, first-class hotels and transfers, and unprecedented access, including track tours, pit lane walks, VIP hospitality, and loads more. It really is the closest you can get to Formula 1, and thanks to F1 Experiences, you can return to the track this year, and Motormouth listeners can save 5% on your next F1 Experiences package by using the code Motormouth when booking online at f1experiences.com.
And talking of Formula 1, the F1 blocks keep falling into place, because in 2020 you were made official test driver for Alpine, making you the first Chinese driver to occupy an F1 role within a manufacturer. I'm curious to know, are you aware of the impact you may be having on Chinese motorsport during this period? And how important is it for you personally to bring China further into the motorsport spotlight and really put it on the map internationally, outside of hosting its own races, obviously, but to have someone that the country can get behind? Do you feel that sort of sense of responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of people in China, you know, believing in me, and there's a lot of hopes from back home, that's for sure. Nevertheless, that can, you know, sometimes goes into pressures, but I like to have pressures anyway, so on my shoulder. And in the other hand, it was always, you know, it's good to have, there's people never know motorsports, are starting to watch motorsports because of me back home, and also there's people like my friends never ever, you know, watched it once. So when they see it on TV, on the news, they messaged me telling me and saying you're famous now, all that stuff. So it's always nice to hear and from them. But yeah, obviously, as we all know, that never been a Chinese driver ever to race at Formula One Grand Prix. So I'm trying to make this happen, and looking like, you know, next year is going to be the most important for me, in order to, you know, break that record. So hopefully I can make everything come true. And of course I'm working, you know, 10 times harder than I ever wanted to be, you know, reaching that. So yeah, hopefully this can come true, and for sure that will bring, you know, even more people from the whole country to be interested in motorsports.
I think there are certainly going to be a lot of people behind you willing that to happen. And we all know, you know, it's not easy. You need so many things to go right for you to find yourself into a seat. But one of those things to go right is to take part in a free practice session in Formula One, which, of course, you were given the opportunity to do just a few weeks ago. And that marked you actually as the second Chinese driver to do that since Ma Qinghua, I believe, way back when in the Caterham F1 days. So you took part in that, of course, for Alpine in Austria. Talk us through those emotions there and what it was like to do that first lap on a live track on a Grand Prix weekend. And I believe you only finished, was it about 0.4 off Esteban Ocon, who is now, of course, an F1 race winner?
Yeah, I mean, going back to, you know, a few weeks ago, that was a special moment, special weekend for me to remember. I think, firstly, not just because of, you know, we don't have any Chinese driver attend this before, but the other hand is that it's always, you know.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A dream coming true to be raced at the same circuit, same session as, you know, the idols or the drivers you're looking up to. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw a picture of me like 2005 holding the Fernando's flag in Shanghai. And to be actually sitting in his car, not just driving alongside him. Yeah, I done that last year in Abu Dhabi, driving alongside him. But it's something unreal feeling. And that first outing was, the feeling is really hard to explain. It's just like, you know, you don't feel everything is real because you're doing an outing. So I was a little bit delayed of the starting time. So people was on flying laps, so I have to get out of the way. Just saw, you know, Hamilton, Max driving past you, it's something just incredible feeling because obviously these two people are the people I never raced ever before, who like people like George, Lando actually raced against them in the past younger time. So it's something incredible. And of course, like you said, finished P14 with the medium tires, so I never went soft tires. So it's the soft tire was actually even closer with Esteban. So it's a good, you know, good, something good for me, also for the team, knowing I'm capable of, you know, doing that stuff. And it's not never easy in short sort of period of only 1 hour to adapting all this stuff.
It's great stuff. It really is. And it's fascinating hearing you talk about it. And you obviously have such passion for it and you're saying all the right things. One thing I'm keen to understand is we talk to a lot of ex-Formula One drivers who are now maybe 40, 50, 60 years old. And one of the things we sometimes ask them is, did you realise at the time what you were doing? And most of them say no. Like, I was young, just going through the motions, just doing my thing. It wasn't until 20 years later I look back at the history books and go, oh my God, I was actually part of history. I was racing in Formula One. Do you ever stop and just be in the moment and consider what it is that you're doing? Or are you just sort of going through the motions, getting on with day to day and just, you know, seeing what happens?
I think a bit of both, to be honest. Like in the younger time, I was just going for the passion because I don't know what's, you know, in my future, what's going coming up. It's so far away from reaching Formula One. And right now, these 3 years, the moment I step into Formula Two, you know, the people who is really, you know, looking after you, looking up to you is massively, you know, there's even young drivers back home in China, you know, is motivated by me and wants having some tips from me and in order to, you know, help them for their racing career. So, I mean, I'm only 22 years old. I'm not like somebody that I don't know, 40, 50 years old have that much experience, but it's always nice having the young generation always looking up after you. And then, you know, every time at the moment, I would just focus on, you know, track times. But, you know, what I do well, having the first ever pole position in history in Formula 2, first ever victories, first ever second position, all that stuff. It just, you know, people obviously bring it up when you're in the podium. But, and then you realize, like, this is actually happening and you're writing a history. It's actually quite impressive. So I'm actually living the dream, loving exactly what I do right now. Obviously, the dream is still, you know, it's close, but still very hard step to be reaching it. But right now, I'm actually just passionate for this sport and trying to, you know, give all my best to this sport. And hopefully, you know, everything can come real.
It really shows, and you've not been lacking any trophy and trophies or any kind of silverware this year. Not to mention, of course, the Monaco win as well. That must be on your highlights list for this season so far. And it's been a good season for you if we bring it up to speed a little bit in Formula 2 this year. Unfortunately, at Silverstone, you came in leading the championship. Now you're just a couple of points behind in second, but it was a good recovery as well. I had the pleasure of commentating on you for the first time in Formula 2 during doing the TV stuff. But it was a tough few races. And that actually brings me on to sort of a second part of the question as well, if you're able to answer both. How are you looking at this new look Formula 2 as well, with the new format and also these long gaps between races as well? Going into the second half of the season, we've got races, you know, Monza, Sochi, Jeddah, Abu Dhabi still left to go. How are you finding it all, and going forward, how are you going to look at it?
Yeah, so firstly, this trophy right here is actually a Monaco one, so like you mentioned. Right, because it's a special one. You have all this. See, you have a sticker. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's like that. Seeing all the Monaco trophies. And yeah, secondly, I think that's one of my favorite moments. But still, I think winning Silverstone and the Bahrain is something special, just because the Bahrain race, feature race, you know, it's always bigger points. It's the main race. So the feature race of Bahrain, it wasn't easy. I was way far down, starting on hard, starting on pole. I don't think that ever happened too much in history. And so we made it work, actually. And then Silverstone, which is, you know, it's a great place to take a victory. You know, it's a home of Formula One motorsports. And it's a love place with first time, you know, all the fans are here on track. And like you said, you know, this season, F2, you know, we show definitely one of the title contender. And obviously, Silverstone was a little bit compromised, but I'm actually quite happy with the way I bounced back after a pretty disaster Saturday to be winning the main race, recover some points. And yeah, looking at the new format, I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest. Firstly, the gap is way too big. I mean, for me, it's not a big deal. It means I spend more time in the gym, which is something I don't like. I love more driving. And the other hand is that the three races, you know, it's when you're on pole, it's nice. You get 4 points extra. But when you're in second to P10, I think there's more chances you get a DNF in race one and starting P10, to be honest, because it's reverse grid. You know, everything can happen in the race, especially when you're in the mid pack. So for me, like experienced driver, it's not really helping. But obviously, for a young rookie coming to Formula 2, if you don't have the best performance in quality, you can maybe win first race. So it's nice for them, but that's how it is. But yeah, in general, I'm more keen on the old format, to be honest. More tracks, yeah. Mm.
You're clearly a very, very fast racing driver. We all know that. But what are you good at outside of racing? A little birdie told me that you're into your fashion.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm good at is fashion. What I love is fashion and rap.
Rap,
I'm right. Yeah, I won't do any rap for you. I need some fashion.
It sounds like you and Lewis Hamilton would get on like a house on fire.
No, I love rapping. You know, hip-hop is really famous in the recent like 5 years in China now. You know, normally just pop music, but the recent years, everybody's starting love or into hip-hop, and I'm one of them. And fashion has always been my side since I was young kids. You know, I love dressing cool. I love wearing the stuff. It's like not like a normal outfit for people. It's something always, you know, some strange or cool art design, you know, from the designers. Yeah, it's something I always love. And hopefully maybe in future I can have something, you know, my own brand.
Amazing.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe you can make some oversized clothing, because I don't know if you've met Harry so far during the season in a paddock, but honestly, if you've ever met someone taller, I'll be amazed. He doesn't look tall on this video, but you must be pushing 10 foot by now. The guy's, he's ridiculous. He's so tall. So can you please, when you create your fashion label, can you make sure you do some XXXX?
If you could do a big and tall range, that would be XXXL. I'm not that big, bloody hell. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on there, shall we? Let's put that on its head, though. So we found out what you like outside of racing. What are you terrible at? Just useless.
Well, firstly, jumping from a high distance. I can't do heights.
Hold
honestly.
On. Okay. So it's the height part, not the jumping part.
All right, both.
So like a bungee jump. Absolutely
yeah, I mean, bungee
not.
Jump is not... such as a skill. You don't really need to do a backflip. You just have to put your foot down and jump. But yeah, not just bungee jumps. Like, yeah, bungee jumps, skydive. Even like I'm struggling to jump from like 3 meters might be all right. from five, no.
That's it's quite like, high. No, that's quite wow. high. Like if you're jumping into water from, you know, a cliff or something, five meters is, that's pretty high. I'd struggle with that. 3 meters, I think that'd be okay.
Yeah, I think it's all right, but I've never tried it. So.
Or even like diving, you know, into a swimming pool. You see on the Olympics how high some of these boards are that they dive from. I don't think I'd want to do that either. We actually just had Christian Kleen on the show, and he was exactly the same. He can't do heights either. So you're in decent company there. We heard, though, that you're also quite bad at cycling. Is that true?
Well, I don't want to bring that up, but if you do, it's fine. I mean, everybody knows... not just in my academy, everybody knows, I think, in Formula 2 paddock, all my competitors, all of these drivers, because I'll keep saying, like, because Renault want me to do a lot of cycling, I was like, man, I'm really rubbish at it. I can't sit in, like, a saddle for, like, I don't know, 6-7 hours. I get so bored and, you know, just be something, you know, I'm all right at, for example, if you tell me to do running or something short, hard but intensive, it's fine. But it's all just endurance to keep going. Because obviously, firstly, if I'm struggling off, you know, racing up long, like 2 hours, I'll be doing that. But all this part is fine. So I'm just really hated to doing that.
I'm with you.
Fair enough.
It's boring.
Fair enough.
It is boring. Listen, you're based in the UK at the moment. You come from China. We in the UK love our Chinese takeaways, our Chinese food. Out of 10, what would you give the English Chinese food?
I think if the Cantonese, so like, you know, the dim sum or this part, it's I think 7 or 8. Quite well there. But where I'm coming from Shanghai area. And in China, you know, like in UK, most of the food is that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in China, you know, we have so much dishes. I think all the Italian food, English, I don't know, Australian food, all this adding together might be, you know, how much dishes we have in China. So I always try to find something a little bit different, more like back home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love hot pot, but I don't think many of you ever tried, but that's one of the most famous dish in China.
No, never.
You're boiling a hot, like, soup water with all the... raw meat, vegetables.
Something
like that.
It's the raw stuff that freaks me out. Because I alluded to it right at the top of the show, this crab I had to eat, which is quite a delicacy in Shanghai. Last time I was there years ago for a Grand Prix, I got taken to a restaurant where they had hairy crab. And it's this soft shell crab, which is covered in hair. And I don't eat fish or anything from under the water. I don't understand why anybody would put any of that stuff in their mouth. The whole thing is disgusting to me. I had to basically eat this hairy crab like a burger, and mine was pregnant. Oh, it makes me gag thinking about it.
Oh.
And it was just the most revolting thing I've ever had. Sorry, no offense to Chinese food, but it was, I just couldn't do it. It was horrific. And there's a lot of that kind of hardcore perceived hardcore food that we in the UK are just completely useless at.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I don't like to try all this. I'm not a big fan of seafood too. But I don't know, something you will realize in China, most of the like fish will have bones inside.
Yeah.
Where in Europe, they try to take it off because in case you can't pick it up, you might get stuck in your throat.
Yeah.
But in China, we have always like loads of bones, but we're used to it too.
You can handle it more than we can. Right. Just a couple more quick fire ones for you, Guan Yu. Who's your best friend in the paddock?
I think there's a few. I mean, I'm good with my teammate, Marcus Armstrong.
Yeah.
I think I know him for a long time. And Jayan, Dan, all these people. I think there's quite a lot. If you ask me last year, it would be Callan Ilott. But yeah, if you ask me this year, it's quite equally.
Nice.
A very fair answer. Not political at all.
Very diplomatic. Now, this next question, before we come on to our final three, is an important one. And sometimes we ask it, sometimes we don't. It depends on the individual. But I feel like in this instance, having heard you speak and had the conversation that we've had, I feel comfortable asking you this question. Would you prefer to be covered in feathers or scales, and why?
Feathers or scales?
Yeah.
Now, some say feathers can help you fly. Others say scales mean you can swim better. It's up to your interpretation.
Well, probably, I don't mind both, but just regarding to what you say, I think probably feathers.
Yeah,
feathers. Strong answer. You're in good company there.
Absolutely.
You are.
I'd go feathers as well. Final three. So we have three final questions that we ask all of our guests. They're brought to you by our partners at Formula One F1 Experiences. I'll kick off this week. Harry, if you don't mind, what has got you excited at this very moment?
My future in Formula One. And, you know, hopefully can make that coming true in the next 2 years.
We can't wait to see how it unfolds, especially over the summer break as well, and the second half of the F2 season. Second one for you. What are you... Well, I think we may have covered this already, but what are you scared of?
Scared of, like, these, I don't know, you know, these small bugs, little, like, these animals, like, not animals, I don't know, if you consider spider, like, animals.
Insects, small insects,
yeah,
like spiders stuff. And... quick-moving things.
Wasps, all this stuff. Man, I'm really bad at it.
No, wasps, I can't handle wasps because they'll sting you no matter what. Bees, it's all right with because they'll only sting you if you piss them off. So
yeah, I don't really look the difference between them two. They're all the same for me.
Fair enough.
They're all evil. They've all got an agenda. What is your favourite Formula One destination or circuit?
Shanghai. I don't think there's another answer.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay, take Shanghai out of the equation. What's your favourite F1 destination?
To be honest, I love going to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
I mean, Silverstone is always a good one because it's at my home, but Abu Dhabi, you race at the night, the circuit, you know, it's incredible. When you probably have to, you know, wear still a dark visor because how bright all these lights are and how well, you know, the track is in terms of not the layout, just like, you know, how well they build the track and the surface is quite impressive. And always, you know, done well then, that's also one of the reasons I love to go there.
It always looks so impressive, doesn't it?
It's a stunning facility. Fun fact for you, I was part of the founding team at Yas Marina Circuit.
Oh, yeah, you were.
I was there. Really? I was there from 2009. Yeah, I was there right at the beginning.
You built it with your own two hands, Tim.
I basically built it, yeah. You're welcome.
Well, look, Guan Yu Zhou, we've taken up enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining us on the Motormouth podcast. It's been great to get to know you a little bit more about your racing career and outside of it as well. We wish you the best of luck with the second half of the Formula 2 season. And we're all very excited to see how your F1 future unfolds being a part of the Alpine F1 Team Academy. Guan Yu Zhou, thank you so much for coming onto the Motormouth podcast.
Thank you, Harry and Sid. It was great talking to you guys.
Before you go, one final reminder to check out F1 Experiences, the official experience, hospitality and travel program of Formula One. F1 Experiences is the closest you can get to the sport. Official ticket packages, which include the best race tickets, first class hotels, travel and exclusive behind the scenes access across a Grand Prix weekend. F1 Experiences offer packages like no other. So to book your F1 Experiences package, head online to f1experiences.com. And if you enter code Motormouth, you'll get 5% off too. Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth _, Instagram at Motormouth _official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too. So make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumors quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.